Welcome. It is good to have you here today, and you have brought the sacrifice of praise. You have brought an offering to the Lord by bringing yourselves here today. It is good to see you. It's good to be gathered together in the house of the Lord. I have my phone in my hand, and on it I'm going to be reading the scripture, but it's there to remind you to silence your phones. You don't have to turn them off. Just put them in that silent mode so that they don't ring in the middle of the service. Isaiah 43:19 says this, "Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." You know, God is always about doing a new thing. He's always meeting us where we are, but he's always leading us into new things. Let's embrace the new that God has for us today as we bow before him. Father, this is the day that you have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, we want you to use this time to orient our hearts towards you. Lord, would you use this time to purify the longings of our heart? Father, would you use this time to help us to put aside and to push away all the distractions of this world, all the desires of our fleshly nature? And Lord, in this time, would you purify our longings so that we long for you? That's all that we desire is to know you, to enjoy you, to experience you, and to proclaim you to our world. Father, use this time to draw us into your presence, that you might be glorified when we go out from this place. In Jesus' precious holy name, amen. still talking about a Christ-formed conscience, and I may be doing that for some time, I may not, who knows. We've been talking about the things that, the mindsets, the attitudes that matter. All right, so we are in 1 Peter, and we're looking through 1 Peter, and we're seeing what God has done for us. We're seeing the things that God has done, and as we think about having a Christ-formed conscience, we have looked at the fact that we need to view ourselves as holy. The word of the Lord says in 1 Peter chapter 1 that we are to be holy, for our God is holy. And when I talk to you about that, so this is step one, is to be holy, to be completely other, to be different. Our God is not like us, and it's not like human reason, and it's not like human cultures. Our God is completely other. And so if we're going to have a Christ-formed conscience, we have to choose to be like Him. We have to choose to go against the grain of this world and even against the grain of our own human desires in order to pursue Him. Now, the good news is, well, let me start with the bad news. The bad news is you cannot be holy on your own. Okay? The good news is that that which God touches becomes holy. And if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, He has touched you, and His Spirit dwells within you, and you are therefore holy. But now we have to form our conscience, our way of choosing between right and wrong. We have to choose according to what God thinks instead of according to what the world thinks. Step two in this process is that we then walk by faith, choosing to do what God says, being God-centered, obedient action, choosing to do that regardless of whether or not we fully understand it or it makes sense to us. You see, we are Western European rationalists, and we like to think that we can reason our way to everything. And sometimes God says, I want you to do this, and it makes no sense. And you need to do it anyway. God-centered, obedient action. You need to let yourself be guarded by faith and doing what God has asked you to do, regardless of what you think, regardless of what anyone else thinks. The third sermon in the series was that in our effort to choose the right path, a healthy fear of God, reverence, is really important to keep us from caving into the world. Because, you know, we are going against the grain of the world, and the world is going to put pressures on us. The world is going to want us to look a certain way, to act a certain way, to do certain things. And out of fear for them, we might call it peer pressure. We might call it our desire to be accepted. Whatever it is, we may want to go along to get along, and God is saying, don't do that. He's saying, stand firm in me. Go the wrong way. Choose me, not the world. Okay? Go against the grain of this world. And a healthy fear of Him will keep us moving in the right direction, because we will recognize that ultimately what God wants is eternal and what this world wants is temporary. The fourth message had to do with our self-worth or our value. And we all struggle with this, don't we? We struggle with who am I and what is my value? What is my meaning? How can I think of myself as anything other than a sinner? Well, you can think of yourself as a saint. You can think of yourself as a holy one that has been bought by the precious ransom that God paid, the blood of Jesus Christ. You see, when you do that, when you get your value, your meaning from what God says about you, then it no longer matters what people say about you. You are able to be oriented toward heaven and toward God and find your value and your meaning and purpose from Him. And in doing that, you'll then be able to go against the grain of this world, choosing what God wants. And you notice every step along the way, I'm talking about going against the grain of this world, because having a Christ-formed conscience, that's what we do. Number five, that a Christ-formed conscience operates in obedience to Jesus Christ, resulting in self-sacrificing love for others. You see, when we choose what God wants for us and when we have a conscience that is oriented by God, Our conscience is oriented by the love of Christ and by loving God and loving people. And that love is defined by Jesus Christ himself. That love is defined by what he demonstrated on the cross of Calvary. Love does what is in the best interest of the other, regardless of cost to self. Can I just tell you this is hard? Can I just be really honest? Can we just be brutally honest with each other and say, this is tough? Because now I can't make an excuse. I'm tired. I can't say, I don't have the money. I don't have the time. I don't. It's not about me. It's about operating in the highest good of the other, the one that you're encountering, regardless of that personal cost. And I just want you to know, you can't do this stuff on your own. You have to have the power of the Holy Spirit. And next week, Gaylene's going to be talking about that. You have to have the power of the Holy Spirit in you to enable you to do that. Last week, we talked about a Christ-formed conscience lives into the reality that we are a royal priesthood bringing God to humanity and humans to God. We are a royal priesthood. We are a living temple. We are living stones in a living building. Get this. We are the location of the true living God here on earth, individually and corporately. I don't think you got that. You know, we are the habitation and the presence of the living God. We are living stones being built into his living temple to make his presence visible and known here on earth. And guess what? When we do that, we stand against all of the authorities and powers and principalities of this world. You do realize, don't you, that we believe in the supernatural realm? You do realize that we believe in the unseen realm? You do realize that when you get baptized, you are actually standing on notice to the rest of the spiritual forces of wickedness that I do not bow to you anymore. I bow to the one true God Almighty who goes by the name of Yahweh and Yeshua and the Holy Spirit. Okay? That is a powerful declaration. So, you know, one of the things that we need to understand is when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, no, not necessarily everything will get better. If you are indwelt by the living, empowering presence of the Holy Spirit, you will have the power to stand against those forces of wickedness. But all of their attention may be centered on destroying you. Because you are his representative here on earth. You are the place that makes him known. And I have a video clip that I want to show. It's from a movie called The Unseen Realm, and it's just a slight reflection of what I've been saying. Let's give this a watch. It's just a couple minutes.
God knew that the Great Commission was bigger than just Paul could imagine. It falls to us to bring the gospel to the uttermost parts of the earth.
Paul had a supernatural view of his own life. He viewed himself as set apart, as an instrument for God's use. We have the same task of invading the demonic strongholds of this world with the message of the love of Jesus Christ.
Remember our discussion of holy and unholy ground. You might wonder where God's presence is today. And sure, the Bible teaches us God is everywhere, but it actually marks his presence more specifically.
Paul writes that God is specifically present within each believer. In other words, every believer is sacred space.
God was present in the temple. Today, the same is true wherever believers gather as a group. The Bible says the people of God are collectively God's temple.
You are fellow citizens of the saints, and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. You also are built up together into a dwelling place of God in the Spirit.
Together, we are God's temple, the special place where God's Spirit resides. Wherever believers gather, the spiritual ground we occupy is sanctified amid the powers of darkness.
Believe it or not, baptism is a declaration of spiritual warfare. Peter explains that idea in a perplexing passage. It's odd to us, but people in Peter's day would have known just what to do with it.
For Christ also suffered once for
sin. Okay, so are you curious to see more of that? That's a really good movie. I'd recommend it. I will probably be showing it at some point in time. It's a documentary kind of a thing. But last week, I tried to communicate to you that you are special. You are a living stone in the temple of the Almighty. You are the one who makes God's presence visible in this world, individually and especially collectively. Now, one of the things about this world, and I really need to get to the text now and read it to you before the day is over, but one of the things that means is that we have to choose to operate differently than this world. We have to choose to operate differently. So if you have your Bibles, I would invite you to open them once again to 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm going to read verse 1 to 3, and then I'm going to skip what we covered last week and drop down to verses 11 and 12. 1 Peter chapter 2. So is kind of like therefore. You know, it's something that you need to go back and look at. And it has to do with what God has done. If, in fact, you are a child of God, if, in fact, you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, if, in fact, you have submitted to God the Father through Jesus Christ, His Son, and are empowered with His Holy Spirit, then you need to do these things. So put away, and the Greek word for putting away is kind of like putting off, like undressing. It's taking the things and setting them away from you. I am not going to do that here in front of you today. I'm not going to, you know. Thank you. But it's the idea that we're going to take certain things off, that we're going to lay them aside. So, put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Drop down to verse 11. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. Father, help us to just begin to process some of what it means to allow you to be the one who guides our decisions between right and wrong. Help us to begin to once again be reoriented to you, so that all of our longing, all of our desires are purified by your presence, and all that we want is what you want. Father, we can't do this on our own. And so we ask for your help. In Jesus' precious holy name, amen. So when we come to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and when we are washed by his blood, when we are adopted into the family of God, we have to choose to put on characteristics of that family. We have to choose to become like the one who has bought us, like the one who has redeemed us, like the one for whom we have been made and by whom we have been made. One of the things that I just want to remind you of is that God has always longed for an intimate, personal relationship with each human being on planet Earth. That is God's desire. You were created by God and for God. You were created to enjoy fellowship and harmony with Him. One of the things that struck me in the reading this morning as I was reading through Leviticus is that in Leviticus, in that passage in chapter 26, it says that if you will obey all these things, then I will come and make my dwelling among you, and my soul will not abhor you. Wow, that's a strong word. You know, if you will submit to my will, to my ways, if you will come out from under the thrones and powers and principalities of darkness and those of rebellion, if you will instead submit yourself to me and be obedient to me, then I will come and I will make my habitation among you, and my soul will no longer abhor you. Wow, do you want to be accepted and loved and in the presence of God Almighty? There's a lot at stake here. Yes, God's grace pays it all, right? The blood of Jesus Christ covers a multitude of sins. Where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more, but don't presume upon the grace of God. God cares. He has a heart. He has emotion. He longs for intimate fellowship with each one of us, but we break that fellowship when we dishonor Him and when we disobey Him. And when we rebel against Him, and we align ourselves with the spiritual forces of wickedness instead of with Him. And so we have a choice. And we have a choice here to put off, to put away, to strip these things away from ourselves. The first one is malice, to put away all malice. By the way, it says all malice, all deceit, all slander, and in between it has some hypocrisy and some envy. No, it doesn't. Okay, just because he doesn't repeat all every single time, that doesn't mean you're entitled to some hypocrisy and some envy. I just wanted to get that out, okay? So put away all malice. Malice is kakia. So putting it away is to strip it off, to remove it. Kakia is a mean-spirited or vicious attitude or disposition. Malice, ill will, malignity. Now, can you think of anywhere in Scripture where someone may have been controlled by malice? You can. Sally, can you name it? Okay, well, Judas is a great one. I was going to come to him later under deceit, but yes. The Pharisees, yes. When we read Matthew on Wednesday night and we saw the way that they were testing him in order to try and trap him so that they could get him guilty before the law so that they could crucify him. That was malice at work. I'm sorry? Thank you. That's the one I actually listed. I was trying to go to the Older Testament for many of my examples. I didn't make it for all of them. But King Saul, if we were to go to 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 10, you'd have David in there playing. Well, why don't I do that? I don't really have time. That's why. Make time. Oh, yes, you do. I'm not going to be guilty of that one. I am not going there. 1 Samuel 18. And there's actually two different sections here to this passage. So, the next day, a harmful spirit from God. Now, how many of you does that just kind of, You need to see the unseen realms. It'll help clarify a lot of that stuff. The next day, a harmful spirit from God rushed upon Saul, and he raved within his house while David was playing the lyre, as he did day by day. Saul had his spear in his hand, and Saul hurled the spear, for he thought, "I will pin David to the wall." But David evaded him twice. How would you like to be David, commanded to play your harp in the presence of the king, and while you're playing the harp, you have to be ducking spears? You see, Saul was enraged because he recognized that David was going to be the rightful king. And so, you know, we can go back to him for envy, which we probably will. But we can look at that. Malice. Malice is ill intention toward another. Malice is a desire to destroy, to harm, to cause ill or pain for another person. That's what malice is all about. As children of God, we need to put all that away. Now, sometimes we may think that our desire that another should suffer would be okay. They deserve it, after all. They've made bad choices, or they're our enemy. And one of the things that I just kind of want to let you know is that part of being a part of the kingdom of God and part of being a living stone in the temple of God is a need to recognize that every human being, regardless of their current state or situation, was created by God for intimate union with God. God loves them and desires them. You see, what we do as human beings is we tend to separate. We tend to push away. We tend to say, those that are like me, I can group with. Those that are not like me, I can't. We work in the me and my group versus them and their group mentality. And we do this naturally. We don't even think about it. It just happens. Look around you. Look around you at this beautiful collection of very different people. I didn't mean different. I meant different. We have different skin colors represented here. We have different socioeconomic strata record here. Yeah, thank God we have different educational backgrounds here. I hate to say this to you because some of you may be under the illusion that we're all one political party, but we're not. We have people that are worshiping together today that have set aside those differences. Some are you know, way over on the left Democrat side, and some are way over on the right Republican side. And in the church is where we recognize that all of those things need to be let go of. Where we need to orient ourselves according to God and to His kingdom, and that He puts us together as living stones in His building for His glory, and we don't necessarily get to choose who He places beside us. And sometimes we go about trying to kick stones out of the temple of God. You know, sometimes we do it, you know, even among our brothers and sisters. And we don't accept them because they're a little bit different. You know what? We have to put all that aside. And we have to, instead of working towards the harm or the ill of another, working to try and undermine or destroy another, we need to be willing to be built up by God together. And we need to recognize that those differences actually create strength. They create a stronger building. Now, I know some of you are like, well, maybe if they're Republican, but I don't know about those Democrats. And some of you are saying, oh, wait, Pastor. No, those, if they're Democrats, but certainly not if they're Republican. And I'm going to tell you right straight up, both parties have really good things in them, and both parties have really bad things in them. Both parties. Okay? And it's really important that we understand that. And that we understand that we need the parties, instead of this constant friction and division and pushing apart, we need them to come together and cross-fertilize so that we get the bad out of both of them and we accept the good from both of them. I don't think that's happening. Apart from the grace of God. Apart from what God desires. Apart from the temple of God, that would be the church, actually being built together. Actually allowing us to work together to accomplish this. It's not going to happen. So that's true in all of the things that divide us. And we need to be aware of that. So malice is seeking harm for another. And I remember, I'm gonna talk about this straight up front, because I remember seeing bumper stickers when Barack Obama was president of the United States that said, "I will pray for Barack Obama," and they listed a psalm. And that psalm said that his end will be quick and sure. That's malice. Okay? And that's evil. And we should not do that. And there are some who have probably adopted that prayer for President Donald Trump. And they want him to go away as quickly as possible. And that's malice. Okay? That's ill will. And that's something that we as Christians need to put off. What are we supposed to do instead? Pray for them. Pray that God's will would be done in their life. Pray that God would get a hold of them. Because I guarantee you that both of those men needed to be gotten a hold of by God. Okay? Both of them. Because guess what? All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Not some, not just those that are different than me. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. This is not a political party speech. This is us needing to be the body of Christ, where differences of opinion and ideas can come together and can be talked about in love and harmony instead of malice and ill will. Does that make sense to y'all? If it doesn't, you need to be reading the Bible more. And you need to really be understanding that. And so we need to go against the grain of this world that is always about division. And we need to be embracing that which is different than us. Now, I've got definitions for all of these, and we're going to come back to them in 2 weeks. Because I think it's really important that we understand each of these so that we know what we're putting off and putting aside. And that you have real-world applications. But here's the other thing that I really want to grab a hold of really quick before I let you go. Nature abhors a vacuum. You can't just put stuff off. You have to fill that with something. You have to put something on. And so there's a list of those qualities that you could find in Colossians chapter 3. But you could also just look at this and say we should long for pure spiritual milk. And that pure spiritual milk is the word of the Lord. That's what it's been equated to up above. That since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. Grass withers and flower fails, but the word of the Lord remains forever. So when it's talking about craving, desiring, longing for that pure spiritual milk, it's talking about craving, longing for, and desiring the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord to conform us and to change us. And so as we go and we're putting off these things, we need to go to the word and say, what are we supposed to then be? Okay? Well, I didn't get very far today. I'm in subpoint 1A. So y'all come back. Father, we can't do this. I am so aware that we can't do this. Lord, I'm thankful for a brother in Christ who wrote about the idea of the impossibility of prayer. And that when David prayed, he said, "Lord, consider, count my prayers as a fragrant offering to you," knowing that perhaps not everything he was praying was good and holy and pure. Lord, we are so fallen and twisted and deceived by the spiritual forces of wickedness of this world, and I thank you for your grace, your prevenient grace that comes and convicts us and convinces us so that we can turn and accept Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord. And Father, that's only a part of the process. And having become a child of the Most High God. Lord, now we need to learn to put on your character. And your character is so unlike our character, Father, that we need your help every step of the way. And I thank you, because once again, you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, have provided that. Your Spirit dwells within us. Your Spirit makes it possible. Lord, help us, because our heart is deceptive above all things. And we need you to constantly be illumining our heart to us so that we can be what you would have us to be, so that we could do what you would have us to do, so that we could choose to be living stones, walking in obedience, honoring and glorifying you and bringing praises to you, so that you could make your habitation with us, and so that you, your soul, would not abhor us but delight in us. Father, help us. Because, Father, we cannot do it on our own. In Jesus' precious holy name, amen.